Intense emotion. Emotion is caused by something very dear, by something very detestable, by fire, by strong wind, by strong rainfall, by some natural disturbance, by the sight of a big elephant, or by the sight of an enemy. When there is emotion caused by seeing something very dear, one can speak very swiftly and use kind words. When there is emotion caused by seeing something detestable, one cries very loudly. When there is emotion caused by seeing fire, one tries to flee. There may also be trembling of the body, closing of the eyes, and tears in the eyes. When one becomes emotional on account of a strong wind, one tries to run very swiftly and rubs his eyes. When one is emotional because of rainfall, one takes an umbrella, and there is tension in his body. When there is emotion due to a sudden disturbance, one's face becomes discolored, one becomes struck with wonder, and there is trembling of the body. If there is emotion from seeing an elephant, one may jump and show various signs of fear, and sometimes one may keep looking behind him. When there is emotion due to the presence of an enemy, one looks for a fatal weapon and tries to escape. When Krishna returned from the forest of Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda was so emotional from seeing her son that milk began to flow from her breasts. This is an instance of emotion caused by seeing a dear object. In the 10th canto, 23rd chapter, verse 18 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukdeva Goswami informs King Parikshit, quote, "My dear king, the wives of the Brahmins were usually very much attached to the glorification of Krishna, and they were always anxious to get an opportunity to see him. Because of this, when they heard that Krishna was nearby, they became very anxious to see him and immediately left their homes." Unquote. This is an instance of emotional activity caused by the presence of someone very dear. When Putana, the demoniac witch, was struck down and killed by Krishna, Mother Yashoda was struck with wonder and began to cry emotionally. "Oh, what is this? What is this?" When she saw that her dear baby Krishna was playing on the chest of the dead demoniac woman, Mother Yashoda, at a loss what to do, began to walk this way and that. This is an instance of being emotional on account of seeing something ghastly. When Krishna uprooted the two Arjuna trees and Yashoda heard the sound of the trees crashing down, she became overcome with emotion and simply stared upward, being too bewildered to know what else to do. This is an instance of being emotional from hearing a tumultuous sound. When there was a forest fire in Vrindavan, all the cowherd men assembled together and desperately appealed to Krishna for protection. This is an instance of emotion caused by fire. The whirlwind demon known as Trinavrata once carried Krishna off from the ground and blew him around, along with some very big trees. At that time, Mother Yashoda could not see her son, and she was so disturbed that she began to walk this way and that. This is an instance of emotion caused by severe wind. In the 10th canto, 25th chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of Indra's causing severe torrents of rain at Vrindavan. All the cows and cowherd boys became so afflicted by the wind and cold that they all gathered together to take shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna. This is an instance of emotion caused by severe rainfall. There were severe torrents of hail when Krishna was staying in the forest of Vrindavan, and the elderly persons bade him, quote, Krishna, don't you move now. Even persons who are stronger and older than you cannot move, and you are just a little boy, so please stay still, unquote. This is an instance of emotion caused by heavy hailing. When Krishna was chastising Kaliya in the poisonous water of the Yamuna, Mother Yashoda began to speak emotionally, quote, Oh, see how the earth appears to be trembling. There appears to be an earth tremor, and in the sky, tears are flying here and there. My dear son has entered into the poisonous water of the Yamuna. What shall I do now? Unquote. This is an instance of emotion resulting from a natural disturbance. In the arena of Kamsa, when Krishna was attacked by big elephants, all of the ladies present began to address him in this way. Quote, My dear boy, please leave this place immediately. Please leave this place immediately. Don't you see the big elephants coming to attack you? Your innocent gazing upon them is causing us too much perturbation. Unquote. Krishna then told Mother Yashoda, quote, My dear mother, don't be perturbed by the appearance of the elephants and horses that are so forcibly coming and raising dust, causing blindness to these lotus-eyed women. Let even the Keshi demon come before me. My arms will still be adequate for victory. So please, don't be perturbed. Unquote. In the Lalita Madhava, a friend tells Mother Yashoda, quote, How wonderful it is that when the Shankachuda demon, vast and strong as a great hill, attacked your Cupid-like beautiful son, there was no one present in Vrindavan to help, and yet the demon was killed by your little son. It appears to be due to the result of severe penances and austerities in your past lives that your son was saved in this way. Unquote. In the same Lalita Madhava, there is an account of Krishna's kidnapping Rukmini at her royal marriage ceremony. At that time, all of the princes present began to converse among themselves, saying, quote, We have our elephants, horses, chariots, bows, arrows, and swords, so why should we be afraid of Krishna? Let us attack him. He is nothing but a lusty cowherd boy. He cannot take away the princess in this way. Let us all attack him. Unquote. This is an instance of emotion caused by the presence of enemies. Srila Rupa Goswami is trying to prove by the above examples that in relationship with Krishna, there is no question of impersonalism. All personal activities are there in relationship with Krishna. Madness. Srila Bilva Mangala Thakur prays in his book as follows, quote, Let Srimati Radharani purify the whole world, because she has surrendered herself completely unto Krishna. Out of her ecstatic love for him, she sometimes acted just like an adult person and attempted to churn yogurt, although there was no yogurt in the pot. And seeing this, Krishna became so enchanted by Radharani that he began to milk a bull instead of a cow. Unquote. These are some of the instances of insanity or madness in connection with the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that when Krishna entered the poisonous waters of the Yamuna, Srimati Yashoda Devi went insane. Instead of searching for curative herbs, she began to speak to the trees as if they were snake chanters. With folded hands, she began to bow down to the trees, asking them, quote, What is the medicinal herb which can check Krishna's dying from this poisonous water? Unquote. This is an instance of insanity caused by some great danger. How a devotee can be in a state of insanity because of ecstatic love is described in the 10th canto, 30th chapter, verse 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein the gopis were searching for Krishna in the forests of Vrindavan. The gopis were loudly singing the glories of Krishna and wandering from one forest to another in search of him. They knew that Krishna is not localized but all-pervading. He is in the sky, he is in the water, he is in the air, and he is the Supersoul in everyone's heart. Thus the gopis began to inquire from all kinds of trees and plants about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is an instance of ecstatic madness on the part of devotees. Similarly, there are symptoms of diseases caused by ecstatic love. This condition is credited by learned scholars as being Mahabhava. This highly elevated condition is also called Divyonmada, or transcendental madness. Forgetfulness. When Krishna was absent from Vrindavan and was staying in Mathura, Srimati Radharani sent news to him that his mother, the Queen of Vraja, was feeling such separation from him that there was foam coming from her mouth, like the foam on the shore of the ocean. And sometimes she was raising her arms like the waves of the ocean. And because of her intense feelings of separation, she was rolling on the ground and creating a tumultuous roaring sound. And sometimes she was remaining completely silent, like a calm sea. These symptoms of separation from Krishna are called apasmara, or forgetfulness. One completely forgets his position when he manifests these symptoms in ecstatic love. Another message was once sent to Krishna informing him that after he had killed Kamsa, one of Kamsa's demon friends had gone insane. This demon was foaming at the mouth, waving his arms and rolling on the ground. This demoniac demonstration is in relationship with Krishna in a ghastly humor. This mellow or flavor is one of the indirect relationships with Krishna. The first five kinds of relationships are called direct, and the other seven are called indirect. Some way or other, the demon must have had some relationship with Krishna, because these symptoms developed when he heard that Krishna had already killed Kamsa. Srila Rupa Goswami remarks that there is also transcendental excellence in this kind of symptom. Disease. When Krishna was absent from Vrindavan and was staying at Mathura, some of his friends informed him, quote, "Dear Krishna, because of their separation from you, the inhabitants of Vraja are so afflicted that they appear to be diseased. Their bodies are feverish and they cannot move properly. They are simply lying down on the ground and breathing heavily." Unquote. In the 10th canto, 12th chapter, verse 44 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Pariksit asked about Lord Ananta. And upon hearing this question, Shukdev Goswami began to show symptoms of collapsing. Yet he checked himself and answered King Pariksit's question in a mild voice. This collapsing condition is described as a feverish state resulting from ecstatic pleasure. There is another statement in Srimad Bhagavatam telling of the damsels of Vraja meeting Krishna at the sacred place of Kurukshetra many years after their childhood pastimes. When they met in that sacred place, all the gopis became stunned by the occurrence of a solar eclipse. Their breathing, blinking of the eyes, and all similar activities stopped, and they stood before Krishna just like statues. This is another instance of a diseased condition resulting from exuberant transcendental pleasure. And now chapter 30, further features of ecstatic love for Krishna. Confusion. There is the following statement in the Hamsa Dutta, quote, "One day when Srimati Radharani was feeling much affliction because of her separation from Krishna, she went to the bank of the Yamuna with some of her friends. There Radharani saw a cottage wherein she and Krishna had experienced many loving pleasures, and by remembering those incidents, she immediately became overcome with dizziness. This dizziness was very prominently visible." Unquote. This is an instance of confusion caused by separation. Similarly, there is a statement describing confusion caused by fearfulness. These symptoms were exhibited by Arjuna when he saw Krishna's universal form on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. His confusion was so strong that his bow and arrows fell from his hands, and he could not perceive anything clearly. Death. Once the Bakasura demon assumed the shape of a very big duck and opened his mouth in order to swallow Krishna and all the cowherd boys. When Krishna was entering into the demon's mouth, Balaram and the other cowherd boys almost fainted and appeared as though they had no life. Even if devotees are illusioned by some ghastly scene or by any accidental occurrence, they never forget Krishna. Even in the greatest danger, they can remember Krishna. This is the benefit of Krishna consciousness. Even at the time of death, when all the functions of the body become dislocated, the devotee can remember Krishna in his innermost consciousness, and this saves him from falling down into material existence. In this way, Krishna consciousness immediately takes one from the material platform to the spiritual world. In this connection, there is a statement about persons who died at Mathura. Quote, "These persons had a slight breathing exhilaration. Their eyes were wide open, the colors of their bodies were changed, and they began to utter the holy name of Krishna. In this condition, they gave up their material bodies." Unquote. These symptoms are prior manifestations of death. Laziness. When, because of self-satisfaction or dislike of excessive labor, a person does not perform his duty in spite of having the energy, he is called lazy. This laziness also is manifested in ecstatic love of Krishna. For example, when some Brahmins were requested by Nanda Maharaj to circumambulate Govardhan Hill, they told him that they were more interested in offering benedictions than in circumambulating Govardhan Hill. This is an instance of laziness caused by self-satisfaction. Once, when Krishna, along with his cowherd boyfriends, was having a mock battle, Subala showed the symptoms of fatigue. Krishna immediately told his other friends, quote, "Subala is feeling too fatigued from mock fighting with me, so please do not disturb him any more by inviting him to fight." Unquote. This is an instance of laziness caused by dislike of excessive labor. Mm-hmm. inertness. In the 10th canto, 21st chapter, verse 13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an appreciation by the gopis of the inertia of the cows in Vrindavan. The gopis saw that the cows were hearing the sweet songs vibrated by Krishna's flute and were appearing to be drinking the nectar of these transcendental sounds. The calves were stunned, and they forgot to drink the milk from the milk bags. Their eyes seemed to be embracing Krishna, and there were tears in their eyes. This is an instance of inertia resulting from hearing the transcendental vibrations of Krishna's flute. When Lakshmana became disturbed upon hearing words against Krishna, she remained inert and did not move her eyelids. This is another example of inertia caused by hearing. In the 10th canto, 71st chapter, verse 39 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an account of King Yudhishthira's bewilderment after his bringing Krishna into his home with the greatest respect. King Yudhishthira was very much bewildered because of his transcendental pleasure at having Krishna present in his house. In fact, while receiving Krishna, King Yudhishthira forgot himself. This is an instance of inertia resulting from the ecstasy of seeing Krishna. There is another instance in the 10th canto, 39th chapter, verse 36 of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Krishna was going to Mathura, all of the gopis were standing behind Krishna, and upon seeing the chariot leaving, they stood there stunned and did not move. They remained like that until the flag of the chariot and the dust thrown up by its wheels became invisible. Krishna was once addressed by his friends thus, quote, "My dear Mukunda, due to their being separated from you, the cowherd boys are standing just like neglected deities in the house of a professional Brahmin." Unquote. There is a class of professional Brahmins who take to deity worship as a means of earning their livelihood. Brahmins in this class are not very interested in the deity. They are interested mainly in the money they can earn as holy men. So the deities worshipped by such professional Brahmins are not properly decorated. Their dress is not changed, and their bodies are not cleaned. They look dirty and are not very attractive. Actually, deity worship should be done very carefully. The dress should be changed daily, and as far as possible, there should be ornaments. Everything should be so clean that the deity is attractive to all visitors. Here the example is given of the deities in the house of a professional Brahmin, because such deities are not at all attractive. The friends of Krishna, in the absence of Krishna, were appearing like such neglected deities. Bashfulness. When Radharani was first introduced to Krishna, she felt very bashful. One of her friends addressed her in this way, quote, "My dear friend, you have already sold yourself and all your beauty to Govinda. Now you should not be bashful. Please look upon him cheerfully. One who has sold an elephant to another person should not make a miserly quarrel about selling the trident which controls the elephant." Unquote. This kind of bashfulness is due to a new introduction in ecstatic love with Krishna. The heavenly king, Indra, upon being defeated in his fight with Krishna for possession of the Parijata flower, became very bashful because of his defeat. He was standing before Krishna, bowing down his head, when Krishna said, quote, "All right, Indra, you can take this Parijata flower. Otherwise, you will not be able to show your face before your wife, Shachi Devi." Unquote. Indra's bashfulness was due to defeat. In another instance, Krishna began to praise Uddhava for his various high qualifications. Upon being praised by Krishna, Uddhava also bowed down his head bashfully. In the Harivamsa, Satyabhama, feeling slighted by Rukmini's high position, said, quote, "My dear Krishna, the Raivataka mountain is always full of spring flowers, but when I have become persona non grata to you, what is the use of my observing them?" Unquote. This is an instance of bashfulness resulting from being defeated. Concealment. There is a symptom of ecstatic love known as concealment, or trying to hide one's real mental condition by externally showing another attitude. In this state of mind, one tries to hide his mind by looking away in different directions, by unnecessarily trying for something which is impossible, or by using words which cover one's real thoughts. According to acharyas, expert in the study of psychological activities, these attempts at hiding one's real affections are another part of ecstatic feeling for Krishna. In the 10th canto, 32nd chapter, verse 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami states, quote, "My dear king, the gopis were always beautiful and decorated with confidential smiles and alluring garments. In their movements, intended to give impetus to lusty feelings, they would sometimes press Krishna's hand on their laps, and sometimes they would keep his lotus feet on their breasts. After doing this, they would talk with Krishna as if they were very angry with him." Unquote. There is another instance of this concealment in ecstatic love. When Krishna, the supreme joker, planted the Parijata tree in the courtyard of Satyabhama, Rukmini, the daughter of King Vidarbha, became very angry, but due to her natural gentle behavior, she did not express anything. No one could understand Rukmini's real mental condition. This is an instance of competitive concealment. There is another instance in the first canto, 11th chapter, verse 32 of Srimad Bhagavatam. After entering Dwarka, Krishna was received in different ways by different members of his family. Upon seeing their husband from a distance, the queens of Dwarka immediately embraced him within their minds and slowly glanced over him. As Krishna came nearer, they pushed their sons forward to embrace him. Others were trying, out of shyness, not to shed tears, but they still could not keep the tears from gliding down. This is an instance of concealment caused by shyness. On another occasion, when Srimati Radharani thought that Krishna was involved with another woman, she addressed her friend in this manner, quote, "My dear friend, as soon as I think of Krishna, the cowherd boy, attached to some other woman, I become stricken with fear, and the hairs on my body stand up. I must be very careful that Krishna not see me at such times." Unquote. This is an instance of concealment caused by shyness and diplomatic behavior. It has been stated, quote, "Although Srimati Radharani developed a deep, loving affection for Krishna, she hid her attitude in the core of her heart so that others could not detect her actual condition." Unquote. This is an instance of concealment caused by gentleness. Once, when Krishna and his cowherd friends were enjoying friendly conversation, Krishna began to address his associates in casual language. At that time, Krishna's servant, Patri, was also enjoying the conversation. But then, remembering his position of servitude, Patri bowed down before his master, and with great respect and control, he stifled his smiling. This subdued smiling is an instance of concealment caused by a respectful attitude. Remembrance. There are many symptoms of ecstatic love caused by remembering Krishna. For example, one friend of Krishna informed him, quote, "My dear Mukunda, just after observing a bluish cloud in the sky, the lotus-eyed Radharani immediately began to remember you. And simply by observing this cloud, she became lusty for your association." Unquote. This is an instance of remembering Krishna in ecstatic love because of seeing something resembling him. Krishna's bodily complexion is very similar to the bluish hue of a cloud. So simply by observing a bluish cloud, Srimati Radharani remembered him. One devotee said that even when he was not very attentive, he would sometimes, seemingly out of madness, remember the lotus feet of Krishna within his heart. This is an instance of remembrance resulting from constant practice. In other words, devotees who are constantly thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna, even if they are momentarily inattentive, will see the figure of Lord Krishna appearing within their hearts. Argumentativeness. Madhu Mangala was an intimate friend of Krishna, coming from the Brahmin community. Krishna's friends were mostly cowherd boys belonging to the Vaishya community, but there were others who belonged to the Brahmin community. Actually, in Vrindavan, the Vaishya community and the Brahmin community are considered prominent. This Madhu Mangala one day addressed Krishna in this fashion, quote, "My dear friend, I can see that you are not aware of the peacock feathers that are falling on the ground, and at the same time you are unmindful of the flower garlands which are offered to you. I think I can guess the reason for your absent-mindedness when I see your two eyes flying over to the eyes of Srimati Radharani, just like black drones flying to the lotus flowers." Unquote. This is an instance of an argumentative suggestion in ecstatic love. Once, while Krishna was out walking, one of the associates of Radharani told her, quote, "My dear friend, do you think that this walking personality is a tamal tree? If he is a tamal tree, then how is it possible for him to walk and be so beautiful? Then this personality might be a cloud. But if he's a cloud, then where is the beautiful moon within? Under the circumstances, I think it may be granted that this person is the same enchanting personality of Godhead by whose flute vibration the three worlds are captivated. He must be the same Mukunda who is standing before Govardhan Hill." Unquote. This is another instance of an argumentative presentation of ecstatic love. Anxiety. In the 10th canto, 29th chapter, verse 29 of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna asked all the gopis to go back to their homes, they did not like it. Because of their grief at this, they were sighing heavily, and their beautiful faces appeared to be drying up. In this condition, they remained without making a sound. They began to draw lines on the ground with their toes, and with their tears, they washed the black ointment from their eyes onto their breasts, which were covered with red kumkum powder. This is an instance of anxiety in ecstatic love. One of the friends of Krishna once informed him, quote, "My dear killer of the demon Mura, your kind and gentle mother is very anxious because you have not returned home. And with great difficulty, she has passed the evening constantly sitting on the balcony of your home. It is certainly astonishing how you could forget your mother while you are off somewhere engaged in your playful activities." Unquote. This is another instance of deep anxiety in ecstatic love. When Mother Yashoda was very anxiously waiting for Krishna to return from Mathura, Maharaj Nanda gave her this solace, quote, "My dear Yashoda, please don't be worried. Please dry your beautiful lotus-like face. There is no need for you to breathe so hotly. I will go immediately with Akrura to the palace of Kamsa and get your son back for you. Unquote. Here is an instance of anxiety in ecstatic love caused by Krishna's awkward position. Thoughtfulness. In the Vaishaka Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana, a devotee states that, though in some of the 18 Puranas, the process of glorifying Lord Vishnu is not mentioned, and the glorifying of some demigod is offered, such glorification must be continued for millions of years. For when one studies the Puranas very scrutinizingly, he can see that ultimately Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is an instance of ecstatic love developed out of thoughtfulness. In the 10th canto, 60th chapter, verse 39 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an account of Rukmini Devi's writing a letter to Krishna, requesting him to kidnap her before her marriage to another person. At that time, the specific attachment of Rukmini for Krishna was expressed by Rukmini as follows, quote, "My dear Lord Krishna, your transcendental glories are chanted by great sages who are free from material contamination. And in exchange for such glorification, you are so kind that you freely distribute yourself to such devotees. As one can elevate oneself simply by your grace, so also by your direction alone, one may be lost to all benedictions under the influence of eternal time. Therefore, I have selected your lordship as my husband, brushing aside personalities like Brahma and Indra, not to mention others." Unquote. Rukmini enhanced her love for Krishna simply by thinking of him. This is an instance of thoughtfulness in ecstatic love. Endurance. When a person is fully satisfied due to attaining knowledge, transcending all distress, or achieving his desired goal of life in transcendental devotional service to God, his state of endurance or steady-mindedness is called dhriti. At this stage, one is not perturbed by any amount of loss, nor does anything appear to be unachieved by him. According to the opinion of Bhartrari, a learned scholar, when a person is elevated to this state of endurance, he thinks as follows, quote, "I do not wish to be a highly posted government servant. I shall prefer to remain naked without proper garments. I shall prefer to lie down on the ground without any mattress. And despite all these disadvantages, I shall refuse to serve anyone, even the government." Unquote. In other words, when one is in ecstatic love with the personality of Godhead, he can endure any kind of disadvantages calculated under the material concept of life. Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, used to think, quote, "In my pasturing ground, the goddess of fortune is personally present, and I possess more than 10,000 cows, which loiter here and there. And above all, I have a son like Krishna, who is such a powerful, wonderful worker. Therefore, even though I am a householder, I am feeling so satisfied." Unquote. This is an instance of mental endurance resulting from the absence of all distress. In another instance, a devotee says, quote, "I am always swimming in the nectarine ocean of the pastimes of the personality of Godhead, and as such, I have no more attraction for religious rituals, economic development, sense gratification, or even the ultimate salvation of merging into the existence of Brahman." Unquote. This is an instance of the mind's endurance due to achieving the best thing in the world. The best thing in the world is absorption in Krishna consciousness. happiness. It is described in the Vishnu Purana that when Akrura came to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, just by seeing their faces, he became so cheerful that all over his body there were symptoms of ecstatic love. This state is called happiness. It is stated in the 10th canto, 33rd chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, quote, "Upon seeing that Krishna's arm was placed on her shoulder, one of the gopis engaged in the Ras dance became so ecstatically happy that she kissed Krishna on his cheek." Unquote. This is an instance of feeling happiness because of achieving a desired goal. Eagerness. In the 10th canto, 71st chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, quote, "When Krishna first came from his kingdom, Dwarka, to Indraprastha, the young females of the city became so eager to see him that even at night, when they were lying down with their husbands, they could not restrain their eagerness. Even though they were not properly dressed, and although their hair was loose, and there were many household duties to perform, they still gave up everything and immediately went into the street to see Krishna." Unquote. This is an instance of eagerness in ecstatic love. In his book, Stavavali, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami has prayed for the mercy of Radharani, who was so captivated by the flute vibrations of Krishna that she immediately asked information of his whereabouts from residents in the Vrindavan forest. Upon first seeing Krishna, she was filled with such ecstatic love and pleasure that she began to scratch her ears. The damsels of Braja and Radharani were very expert in talking cunningly, so as soon as they saw Krishna, they began their talkings. And Krishna, pretending to go for some flowers for them, immediately left that place and entered into a mountain cave. This is another instance of eager loving exchanges on the parts of both the gopis and Krishna. Violence. When Krishna was fighting with the Kaliya snake by dancing on his heads, Kaliya bit Krishna on the leg. At that time, Garuda became infuriated and began to murmur, quote, "Krishna is so powerful that simply by his thundering voice, the wives of Kaliya have had miscarriages. Because my Lord has been insulted by this snake, I wish to devour him immediately. But I cannot do so in the presence of my Lord, because he may become angry with me." Unquote. This is an instance of eagerness to act in ecstatic love as a result of dishonor to Krishna.